We will begin. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and we'll have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the evening. No, it's Lord, that's just some wet and tossed miserable evening. I'm sure someone somewhere can be doing with the rain, but I pray you please, Lord, that you would preserve lives. Whatever went on there on Sunday night, I pray you, Lord, that no lives would have been forfeit. But Lord, we pray your presence with us this evening. I pray you for inspiration and for the words to speak. Pray you, Lord, too, that you would be one of our number, that you would keep us company, that you would sit with us and open our understanding of the Scriptures, that you would, Lord, accept of our praises, and please, Lord, grant our prayer requests according to your will. Please look after the folks that we minister to through the internet and Facebook and through the CD ministry, Lord. Please, I pray you put your good hand upon them. Pray for our fellow townsmen, for your good hand upon them too, that you would spare lives, but Lord, that you would give people a good shake. Help them to understand or at least make an informed decision about where they're going to be spent in eternity. Pray for our leaders, for our fellow countrymen, for America at this time, for all of the souls that are there, Lord, I think it's 300 plus million, which is a big number to us, but and we know it's nothing to you. Please speak to individual souls and convict greatly of sin and judgment to come and doing the right thing. Just thank you, Lord, for watching over us, for keeping us, for our brothers and our sister churches around the world, thinking especially on Brother Stan and the folks up in Bangor at the moment. And Lord, we just ask all these things, Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, we will we'll start with hymn number 36, because, to be quite honest, if it wasn't for this, we wouldn't be here. Christ Arose, hymn number 36 in the big hymn books. And we'll remain seated as we sing.
Jesus, my Lord.
I would like for you to turn your phones off as well. Sorry about that. Amen. Yep, it's going to happen. It's going to happen to me. Right, let's go to the little black books. And if you would like to turn to hymn number 10, we'll stand and sing. Thine be the glory. Hymn number 10.
Our reading this evening is from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh war to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah.
Verses, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Amen. Thank you for that, Norman. We appreciate Steve giving us, helping us in the service from afar, so to speak. And speaking of, please do pray for him. He's still not keeping the best. His foot and leg are still giving him a lot of trouble, causing him a lot of pain. And he's still suffering very badly with breathlessness and having the odd angina attack. So please do pray for Steve. It's hard to imagine having multiple Stevens and knowing even multiple Normans, but there you go. Please do pray for Steve and for Pat as she helps him and tends to him. Please do make sure that you got one of these wee green prayer lists. If you haven't taken the opportunity this week to pray with your eyes open, you're allowed to pray with your eyes open and read these names out. Please do. Please do it. Even just once a week. I would love to know I am being prayed for every day of the week on average. I don't mind taking an average. But please do. There's people other than me and these lists that need prayed for, and some of them whose lives hang in the balance. Please do pray. We appreciate your prayers for Joanne. Her son Jarvis is, as far as I know, is doing well. And they're all out of hospital. And it's all done bar changing the nappies and warming up the bottles. And petting and burping and I think washing baby grows and stuff like that. So please do pray for her. She has paperwork and things to get sorted out. So please remember Joanne, and her husband Andy, her son Jarvis, and her dad Stephen. I was given a prayer request for a lady by the name of Gemma, the sister-in-law of Will's boss. She is having cancer difficulties. Please do pray for her. And I just want to make a stab at all of the families that have lost loved ones this past wee while. There's the Gilbert family over in Black Creek. There is the Cardwell family up in Portadown. If you ever got a wheaten bread or an apple tart, a rhubarb tart, it was that Mrs. Cardwell, that Dorothy Cardwell, that used to give us good deals on them. So please do pray for that family. Pray also for Will's family and for Norman's and for John and Carol's there as well. All lost loved ones, so remember that. And Rita as well, her family, she went into glory there a little while back, but we had the opportunity to speak to her daughter Elaine there not that very long ago, and just not the same with all these lockdown restrictions and not being able to grieve properly or receive the sympathies, condolences and possible help from those that would normally be able to be there. Miss Esther as well, please do pray for her. And when you're praying for Esther, don't forget Anne and Eddie, her neighbours, and their grandson Mason. Esther has some daughters of her own and grandkids. You might not know them all. If you want to, ask Christy. I'm sure he has names, but she has a number of daughters and a son, and they all need praying for. and of course for Carol and Stan as well. There's a lot going on. The world appreciates your prayers for our leaders as well, and we are specifically reminded to remember Israel and be nice to them. The Lord will honour those that honour Israel. The purchase of the land goes ahead slowly. That phone call that we nearly got in church was the surveyor, whom I tried to get earlier on today but couldn't. So obviously he's gotten home, had his tea, and decided to ring me back. But there you go. And I will get in touch with him after the service. Please do pray about that. And I think that's about that. If there's anything else that you think we need to pray for, please let us know. And we will certainly do that. Is anybody any special requests? Private requests? Okay. We will be praying for those. Don't forget, Pat and Steve have some as well, so they'll be down on the list too. We would appreciate your thoughts too. As the rain starts coming down, sometimes our septic system starts coming up. So we would appreciate your kind thoughts and prayers about that as well. My shoulder's still giving me bother. But other than that, I'm still able to get up and make a cup of tea. I'm doing better than a whole lot of people in the world, and I'm going to heaven. So at the most, it's an inconvenience for a little bit. Amen. I think that's about that. Christy, I hope you were paying attention, brother. Would you be able to lead us in a wee word of prayer? Thank you, sir. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads again.
Your house, Lord, in these days as well. Help us here and those that are amongst us. Bless the preacher as he leads us in your word this evening. And pray for clarity of thought and mind, Lord, clarity of word, Lord, that you would ease the shoulder pain whilst they preach this, Lord. Just take everything away other than the words that you'd have them preach. Pray that they find a home in our hearts and minds, Lord, and on our ears. Lord, that you would feed your sheep, Lord, strengthen your church in these days, not only amongst us, Lord, but all of the invisible church, Lord, that are called their assembly of Christ, Lord, we ask and pray for them. Lord, we ask that that would grow, that souls would be saved, Lord, through testimony of those that are already part of the family, Lord, of acts of kindness, compassion, Lord, of the Spirit wooing and convicting, Father, please. Lord, draw back the backslider to remember those that couldn't be with us this evening, Lord, help them, or just provision their needs, we pray, and watch over them too, Lord. Tend to their needs spiritually this evening. I pray for lifting up of each one that listens into this service as well. Should bless and honor them, Lord, as they faithfully take the time to listen. Remember missionaries, Lord, be with them, bless for Israel. Lord, we pray for our country's leaders at this time, just accomplish your will with there, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, brother. Let's sing another song. We'll take number, I think it was 8. Hymn number 8, Christ the Saviour of Sinners. I think this is to the tune of There Shall Be Showers of Blessings.
We're certainly getting that.
Hymn number 8, Showers of Blessings. Not Showers of Blessings, but Christ is the Saviour of Sinners.
Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long was I chained in sin's darkness. Now by His grace I am free. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me. As a ransom, this is the Savior for me. Now I can say I am pardoned, happy and justified free, saved by my blessed Redeemer. This is the Savior for me. sinners, Savior of sinners like me. Just as I was, he received me, seeking from judgment to flee. Now there is no condemnation. This is the Savior for me. Savior of sinners, Savior of sinners like me. Himself as a ransom. This is the Savior for me. Loved with a love that's unchanging, blessed with all blessings so free. How shall I tell out his praises? This is the Savior for me. Himself as a ransom. This is the Savior for me. Soon shall the glory be dawning, then when his face I shall see. Sing, O my soul, in thy gladness. This is the Savior for me. Sinners like me, giving himself as a ransom. This is the Savior for me.
Amen. Well, you can put your hymn books away for a little bit and take your Bibles out. And if you would, turn to the book of John. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 1. And we're going to take the first 14 verses of this portion of God's Word and spend a little bit of time this evening on the subject of the difference that the light makes. The difference that the light makes. Amen. We also miss, I was just thinking, we talked about not Stephen and Steve, but we also miss Stephen this evening. Please keep Stephen in prayer as well. There used to be a few more young people with us going back a year or two. We do still miss them. Don't forget Courtney and Megan and Alex and Chloe and Joshua and Nathan and Jordan and Tony and Caitlin. Please do pray for these young people. Pray that they come to the conclusion that things are actually better with God than without. Amen. John chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That is our reading, our second Bible reading this evening, There are just so many verses in there that are to do with the light that I'm not taking any particular one as our text. There's enough there. You will, I pray, get the difference that the light makes by the time we get through the service this evening. Amen. Let's have another word of prayer and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time, for the prayer requests that have gone before, especially the private ones, Lord. For those that are absent, for those that have slipped away, we pray you, Lord, even at this, in these dark days, that you would speak to them in no uncertain terms. Just thank you for loving us. Pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ right across the world and for those that would lead them. And pray you, Lord, please, that you would put your hand upon the shoulders of all those that stand behind the pulpit or in a similar position of leadership and convict them greatly, Lord, about living right for you and being a good example and discharging their duty appropriately. Thank you for loving us, Father, and I thank you for forgiving us. I thank you for the chances that you have given us. I thank you for your patience for us, your long suffering. I pray you, Lord, that we, your children, give ourselves a shake and open our eyes and get busy in these last of the last days. Please, Lord, be good to our country. As we honour you, Lord, please honour us. And I pray you that for all those, Lord, that regardless of the country they're in, for all those that would honour you and serve you, Lord, I pray you for provision, for deliverance, Lord, for wisdom and comfort and strength. Lord, please provide all of our needs. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. Pray your good hand upon me and each soul that's here and each soul that's paying attention, Lord. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. We'll pick one, the first one. Verse number four, talking about Jesus, is the first verse in these 14 verses that refers to Jesus as the light of men. And how verse number 5 mentions that light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Goodness, that seems like so much of what's going on in the world today. But that's neither here nor there. I don't know about you, but it's always nice to have a wee bit of light about you. You really can't do very much if you can't see what you're doing. And that's one of the reasons I remember being caught out once, about 20 years ago, out in the back of the church, before they put the wee extension on, before there were any windows. I think it may have been the Sunday afternoon. We were sitting down for our dinner. I think somebody put a kettle on whenever there was a cooker going and maybe a heater going and blew the fuse, tripped the breaker, and it went into complete darkness. And I thought, you know what? I'm never going to be caught like that again. And for 20 years, I had never been that far removed from a flashlight. So even if there's a blackout, even if it's in our house up the road, if the lights go out, I can still see what I'm doing. I am sure there are many tradesmen and craftsmen that would say the same thing. They work in well lit areas. You even see there's a great seal in those wee head mounted lamps that will throw out a good amount of light and free your hands up from actually having to carry them so that you can see what you're doing. In fact, I think it was one of the greatest steps forward that mankind ever made was having a light source whenever the sun went down, because we could keep going. And sure, here we are this evening. Who knows how many light bulbs, and we have fluorescent tube technology in the middle. We have LED light technology at the sides. And I think every other one is some energy saver or other. But the most important thing is, regardless of how much electricity they save and how much heat they stop producing, they produce light. We can see where we're going. We can read what's on I can read what's on the notes and what's in the Word of God, what's in our hymn books. And we're not afraid to trip over anything and break our necks. It makes a powerful difference. In fact, I think Christy mentioned Kids for Schools when he was talking about missionaries. If he didn't, it must be Will that mentions them. I was paying attention, brother, honest. But just to give you an idea of how much we have and how little they don't. They live in a place that I think maybe closer to the equator than us, and their days are maybe equally as long as their nights, but they don't have electrical lighting. If they don't have a fire going in their house, they don't get any light in the house. And we took the opportunity to send them over, I think it was about a dozen solar powered lights, about a year and a half ago, to give these souls that we're supporting a bit of a leg up in what they can do in their lives. There is actually an organisation that does that very same thing, that sells to you, to pass on to people in third world countries, a completely self-contained solar recharging LED light that enables children to study on into the night after their chores are over without having to depend upon a kerosene lamp, which produces a lot of stuff that we have fits about these days, but that certain people just have to make do with. And that it just makes life that much easier. They can carry it as a lantern, they can read and study, they can work at night where they couldn't do before. Light's important. It is so important. And not just physically, but as we read here, spiritually, mentally even. I want to do a quick run through these verses. These are very good verses. This is the creation and the work that Jesus was going to come to do, and even salvation, and the difference between the salvation that God has promised and delivered to untold millions and the counterfeits that the world, the flesh and the devil would like for you to buy into. It starts within the beginning, and up on the wall there, just to Norman's left, you'll see Genesis 1, chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But this time, it doesn't actually say God, it says the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word was in the beginning with God. So right there, you have two or three things that a lot of people, a lot of religions don't like. They don't like the fact there are at least two persons in the Godhead. We know them as the Trinity. Holy Spirit is not just mentioned there, but there's a lot of people don't like that. I know the Jehovah's Witness don't like it. And if the Jehovah's Witness don't like it, you can bet whatever money you have in your pocket that the Seventh-day Adventists don't like it either. The Oneness Movement certainly doesn't like it. The Roman Catholic Church doesn't like it. It doesn't leave much room for Mary whenever we find out that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Mary's just a woman, and Jesus Christ is the only intercessor between God and man. But that's neither here nor there. There are more than one person in the Godhead. The Word of God, it says, was made flesh in verse 14 and dwelt among us. Who is that? That's Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh, who walked and talked among us for about 33 years and then gave his life on the cross, so that if we repented and trusted in him alone as our Savior, we would be saved. It's that simple. It's that amazing. Some days I just want to jump up and down and say, I was going to pump my hand up like that, but I'm not. Pump that hand up in the air and say, thank you, Lord. If you're ever down here and you see somebody jumping up in the air doing that, that's me. Because I am glad that Jesus gave his life on the cross, but also that I had the good sense to ask him to save me, to put that on my account. Anyway, God, one of the names of Jesus is the Word of God. And if you want to know God, read that book, because that is also called the Word of God. If you want to find out what Jesus wants for you in your life, read his book. Not only will you find out what God wants for you, you'll find power, you'll find comfort, you'll find purpose, you will find prophecy, you will find the way to walk in this world, how to treat your brothers and sisters, your neighbors, your family, the right way. It's all in the book. And there's an interesting thing. The Bible says that Jesus Christ has never changed. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. That book, finished just over 1900 years ago, is still as applicable today in all of its parts as it was back then. Anyway, goes on to verse number 3, and again it just says Jesus made everything. Made everything. Every single atom, every single electron that spins around a nucleus, a proton and a neutron, Jesus made it. Before he opened his mouth, there was nothing like that. There wasn't even a void. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the space for the heavens, and then he filled the heavens and put the earth in them. Jesus made everything. He is the creator. He is also the judge. And he's also the destroyer. Anyway, Jehovah's Witnesses don't like that. Because they don't think Jesus was actually God. And they don't like the fact that some of these guys believe that Jesus was made by God and then Jesus went on to make anything. But it says it there. Everything that was made by Jesus. Does everybody understand that? If there was ever anything made, Jesus made it. Every single thing that we put our hands to, every single piece of metal we cut and weld and turn from a 20-foot square tube section into a seat, the steel that goes into that was made by Jesus. You might have taken it and done something else for it, but Jesus made the matter. But more importantly than just the stuff that Jesus made, he also made a way for us to see what's what. And that's what we call the light of man. He made a way for us to see and to experience and to understand that we need to be saved. That there is a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. But there is another way. Like he said in John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not the light, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is light. Those words are light. Because it informs us. What's the term? Whenever somebody suddenly understands something, they are enlightened. They understand. That's why you get the wee picture sometimes with the wee light bulb going off. It switches on when people are enlightened. Lightened. And that's what God came to give us. I know there are many people that claim to bring us enlightenment. The Masons and the Mormons. Two sides of the same coin. They're made one. I think it's their first oath as you join them. They will bare their chest and have a knife pressed to their chest and a trouser leg rolled up for some strange reason. And they claim to be in darkness and that masonry will bring them into the light. Rejecting Jesus and accepting the devil as their Lord and Master. We don't want that. We're not interested in that. But we need to know about it. Verse number 5 tells us this truth that it might seem strange today, but it's really not. It says the darkness can't understand it. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness understandeth it not. We live in a very dark world, and I'm not talking about physically dark. I'm talking about spiritually dark. A world that has been getting progressively worse, as we have been getting progressively, in quotes, better. With more gadgets and ability to erect huge skyscrapers and structures, none of which have actually gotten any way close to the pyramids in their amazingness, if that's even a word. But we think because we've got these things and we can stick a computer in our hip pocket I would have died for nearly as a nipper of 21 or 22 to think I could have had this computer with a built-in screen and a built-in keyboard and it was less than a centimetre thick and it fit in my pocket.
and I could watch movies on it. I would have died, thought I'd died and gone to heaven. But for all of that, we're destitute. We're spiritually and morally destitute. Because here we are with everything nature and man has to offer, and we still think it's okay to kill our unborn children. And even some of our older citizens who are maybe having, or some that are having a bad day. Do you know what? My shoulder bothers me. My knees bother me. My back bothers me. And my neck bothers me. And I am still glad to see 7 a.m. in the morning. And I still have plans to do things every morning. I am glad to be alive. But then I have Christ as my Savior. Let's read on. It is a sad thing. But people whose minds and whose whole lives are directed to and focused on evil are going to think you're an alien speaking a foreign language when you tell them about Jesus. Some of them will change, a very few. They'll be thinking, I am sick, sore and tired. Is there not something better? And when you come with the words of eternal life, they say, do you know what? That actually speaks to me and shows me what it is that I need. It has been a light to my soul. Sadly, not very many. It is goodness. I think Monica and I were having a conversation earlier on today about the political situation in America. Some of our relatives would be candidates for Hitler's youth. I kid you not. They are in line for taking the names of people who have voted for Trump and making sure they never work again or in fact go to jail for voting or and working for a president. And this is in supposedly the freest country in the world. And Stalin still and Hitler and Mussolini still have their leftovers. Yes, you are free to do anything you want in America for the most part, but you need to be careful about what people actually take and do with it. But they can't see any reason. They can't understand any point of view except their own. But not only can they not understand, they will violently oppose. And do you know what, friends? That same mindset existed in the minds of the Pharisees, the very people that should have welcomed Jesus, should have taken off their robes and put them on him and put him at the head of the Sanhedrin, in fact dissolved the Sanhedrin and opened their notebooks and sat down at his feet and said, Lord, teach us. But instead, what did they do? They made plan after plan to kill him and his apostles, his disciples, after he went back to heaven. And they made his life very, very difficult and even sent him to the cross. The darkness cannot comprehend the light, friends. So it goes on to talk about John. And the interesting thing is, chronologically, this is only 400 years after the Lord said there would be a voice of one crying in the wilderness coming in the spirit of Elijah. And this was John the Baptist. And he came to break up the hard ground of men's hearts, still preaching that gospel message that works in all men's hearts, regardless of the age. He wasn't the light. He wasn't the Messiah. But he was sent to tell people about the Messiah. But how can you tell people about the Messiah? Well, really, all you have to do is know the Old Testament, the Scriptures. Because that is the Word of God. And those lessons are as applicable, as we said already today, as they were whenever they happened and whenever they were written about, or whenever we read about them or came across them the very first time in our lives. Crazy. It goes on to mention about who his worst enemies were. Jesus. His worst enemies were the Jews, the capital J, Jews, the leaders of the Jewish world. He came to them and they rejected him out of hand. Do you remember the verse of scripture? He said, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. The second most important stone. Not only is he the foundation stone, the most important piece of stone,
He is also the second most important piece of stone, the stone from which every wall is built, and the whole house would fall if it wasn't there. That's really sad, but that is the way, even today, and even in churches, that people treat Jesus. Now, last couple of verses we want to look at before we look in detail, goodness, at our message this evening. Where does the time go? The Word of God says, God has a lot to give us whenever we trust Him. He gives us, He adopts us as His children. Isn't that just crazy? If we were to honestly look at the things that we have done in the quietness of our own minds, and if we thought for one moment that if there was a half a page or a page, depending on how colourful your life was, in the local newspaper that detailed some of your more nefarious deeds, I honestly don't think you would have many friends come the morning. People say, did you really do that, Mark? And I'd hang my head in shame and say, yes, I did. I don't want to know you anymore. But Jesus loves us. Not loved. He loves us. And He loves us so much that He gave His life on Calvary to pay for us, to pave our way to heaven. And the way we get onto that road is not to just vault over a wall and get on there or climb a farm gate or get up a ladder and pull another one over. It's not like the wall between America and South America. The way we get onto that straight and narrow road is to tell God we're sorry for our sins and really mean it. And it says, it's nothing that man can do. It's not of man. Verse 13 says, you're not going to heaven because your mummy and daddy were good people. It's not of the blood. What does it say next? It's not of the will of the flesh. You're not going to heaven because you feel good. Definitely not. It's not a feeling you have either. And you're not going to heaven just because you stand like this and grit your teeth and say, I am going to heaven. It's not something that you can come up with. It's not something you can devise. And it's not something you can set your mind on. Because if it was, friends, we'd all be going to heaven. Well, whenever we were feeling good and then we were having a bad day, we'd be going to hell. But that's why Jesus came to say, look, I'm setting this in stone in my word and I'm going to preserve it. It's because of what I have done. And nobody can do anything about that. He said, not only that, I'll keep you in the palm of my hand, and no man will be able to pluck you out. I wanted for us, just for a moment, to think and to consider a couple of examples in the Word of God, and I'll go through them quickly, honest, because I see we're half an hour into the service. Normally we'd be finished by, or finishing by then, or coming up to the close, but I've only just passed the introduction. I want for us to think on two examples on how it's the difference, the light, the difference that God makes whenever He's about, whenever He's listened to. There is a thing. Rita used to say, I have a friend. And then she'd go on to tell you about her friend. There is a friend that sticketh closer than brother, the Holy Spirit. And for every one that admits with their lips and believes in their hearts, that admits they're a sinner with their lips and believes that Jesus Christ can save them from their sins, the Bible says you're saved. But that's not all that happens. Your name gets written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. And God gives you the Holy Spirit to take up the place of your sin in your heart. And you are sealed. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of your redemption. That means nothing and nobody can take you away from God. Nothing and nobody. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse 3, I want to read you five or six verses here. I want to read to you what's going to happen whenever God calls us all home. When God takes the mediating influence, takes the Holy Spirit off of the world, I want for you to know what's going to happen. This is Paul. He said, let no man deceive you by any means. In other words, don't be fooled. For that day, in other words, the day of the Antichrist, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. And we see that today. We see a lot of people poking fun at God, like he's a little boy with speckled glasses and his hair sticking everywhere, holding a wee football. And a lot of people think that they're bullying God whenever they give you and me a hard time. But who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's called the abomination of desolation, mentioned in Matthew 24. Remember ye not that when I was with you I told you these things? How many times have we been reminded of these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. In other words, the Holy Spirit is literally nailing the devil's feet to the floor so that he can't do anything, really. Now, Paul went on to say, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he, that's the Holy Spirit, who now letteth, in other words, restraineth, will let or restrain until he is taken out of the way. On the day of the rapture, when there's no more souls going to get saved through the conventional preaching of God's word, God will say, right, there's nobody else. We're not waiting for anybody else. Let's go. The Holy Spirit's called home, but hold on, we're sealed until the day of redemption, and we go up with the Holy Spirit into the air to meet Jesus, to kick off 7 years of the most awful judgments that are going to be visited upon the world. The thing about it is, folks, when the Holy Spirit is gone, who is going to walk up beside the murderer and tap them on the shoulder and say, if you do this and the police catch you, you'll go to jail for the rest of your life? Who is going to go up to the thief and tap them on the shoulder and say, you get caught and your life's ruined? Who is going to go up to the shoulder of the man sitting at the bar and say, you've already had your pint. If you take another one and hit somebody in the car, you'll go to jail for murder? Who is going to go up to the wife with the baby and say, your husband loves you. You make sure you keep your eye on your baby and your husband and stay true to them. Who is going to go to the husband and tap them on the shoulder whenever he's out with his mates and he's got a wife and a crying child at home and say, your wife and baby are depending upon you. Don't you be drinking and don't you be carrying on. Who's going to do that? The answer is there'd be nobody to do that. Because the Holy Spirit will be in heaven. The third person in the Godhead, Jesus Christ, will be in heaven. The second person in the Godhead. And God is always in heaven. Our Father, seated on his throne. And do you know what? The world, as if it wasn't ready enough to listen to the lies of the devil, will have no restraining, no breaks, no moral breaks, no spiritual breaks whatsoever. And everybody will do that which is right in his own mind. In other words, they will follow the first thoughts of their hearts. I want to show you something. In Matthew 24, we spoke about it earlier. This is what Jesus said to his apostles. He said, there's going to be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. And that's not talking about salvation. That means actual, physically saving of the human race. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. That is talking about in Revelation chapter 6, right the way through to Revelation chapter 16. I think at the moment there's over 7.5 billion souls in the earth. Just say the Lord doesn't come back for another 5 or 10 years, there could be over 8 billion souls.
Those 21 judgments result in the deaths of over 4 billion souls. The Bible has had this in the bag of it for 1900 years. It's been freely available to billions of souls, and it's telling us to get right with God because God's judgment is coming. And if you don't get right with God, you have a 50% chance of popping your clogs because of one of God's judgments, or one of the fools that has decided to take a liking to your Nikes or your coat and stabs you and takes them off you. That was the difference. In 7 years from the Holy Spirit being removed from the world, we would quite literally destroy ourselves. That prophecy has only become possible in the past 40 to 50 years. Can you imagine the images that evoked in the apostles' minds? How can everybody die in only 7 years? How could you possibly shoot a bow and arrow through every single person in the world in only 7 years? Sure, look, we have a virus that managed to get around the world in a couple of months. What if it was more dangerous? What if it was fatal? What if it was like Ebola or one of those other viruses? There's no nukes. There's no chemicals. It's just a tiny little bug. That got us all. What do you think is living in those laboratories? What do you think sits on the top of rockets? How many times do you think they can kill you and me over and over again? I think it's at least between 7 and 10 times, and probably so many more times. They're talking about these days, and they're talking about 7 years. Right, 7 years is all it takes for us to kill ourselves without the mediate and power of the Holy Spirit. You might think that's not too bad. Many years has this world been spinning through space? The Bible says it's about 6,000. We have done some crazy things in this world. From time to time, we decide to throw nukes into the sea. We'll nuke a couple of cities here in, Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Let's nuke those guys and teach them a lesson. And then they go out to Bikini Atoll and they say to all the guys in the aircraft carriers, stand on the deck. And we're going to blow up a nuke. Don't be looking at it, just stand with your backs to it. And we blow up mountains. And we do nuclear tests deep in the seas, and we carry out all manner of biological tests on critters deep in bunkers with explosives and things, so that should they ever get out that they can blow the thing and vaporize it. 7 years. But with the Holy Spirit tapping people on the shoulder, inspiring people to preach the gospel and to consider where it is that they're going, this world has been spinning on its axis for 6,000 years. Not only that, Jesus is coming back. And it's going to spin on after the 7-year tribulation for another 1,000 plus years. Because God will be on the throne in Jerusalem, making sure that all of his laws are observed. And we'll be bouncing around in new and glorified bodies, and we will be having a whale of a time, and all the time the devil's locked up. That's the difference following God makes. That is the difference that having the Holy Spirit as your helper and guide makes, not just in you, but in the whole world, even amongst those that are lost. There's still a glimmer of a conscience. There's still a conviction from time to time about doing the right thing. God's way is different. Doing things his way is so much better than doing them our way. I don't know if you recall to mind, there's a couple of wee verses that say about God's thoughts being higher than our thoughts. All, high, as higher than our thoughts than the clouds are above the
above the earth. In fact, I wondered what that was. I thought the rain was coming in. In fact, the Bible even calls us ants and locusts compared to God. Thank you, Christy. But even with things working right in the families and towns and even countries that have given God at least a say in how things go, there are some men that are not happy. In fact, there are many men that are not happy. They still hate God, even whenever he is shown everything to be working so well. And that's why, to me, it's not a surprise in Revelation chapter 20 that whenever the devil is released and there's been no sickness, when glorified people are walking around, they're able to be shot, beaten, bombed, run over, thrown off of cliffs, and they still get up and dust off the dust of whatever it is, and they go on about their business, utterly indestructible, upheld by the very power of God. Even whenever they have examples of the poorest being fed and clothed and housed as well as the richest, everybody getting a fair shake, they are still going to hate God. There are some people that don't want the light. They feel comfortable and they feel at ease in the darkness. You know what, friends? I spent the first 20 odd years of my life like that. And I wouldn't go back to living without God, no matter what you parked in the drive or what you deposited in my bank account. I wouldn't go back. This day and age, I carry the flashlight. Now, it's in my coat pocket, but I can't even be bothered to take a step back to get it. So whenever it's dark, I shine the light and I see where I'm going. But also, I open these pages and fill up my heart and mind. And that's like charging a battery on that wee flashlight. So whenever I do come across things out in the world, I know if they're right or I know if they're wrong, because I can compare them against what God says. And do you know what that makes for so much peace? Yes, I still have my worries and cares, and I still grieve when people make mistakes or when people leave the church or when people step off into eternity. But I know I am on the right path whenever I keep my eyes on God. It makes a difference. I'm going to close with a couple of wee words from Matthew 11. I think Christy mentioned them not that very long ago. He said, Matthew 11, the last few verses says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, do it my way, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." God loves you, friends. And doing it his way does make a difference. Amen. Now, I can tell you all that, but it's up to you to do something about it. Amen. Do we have another hymn we were going to sing? There it is there. Did we sing 36? Was it 31? I think Ling picked 31. Not right, Ling? Hymn number 31. If you're able, let's stand and sing He Lives.
Serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him. With me, and He talks with me along life's narrow way. lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His love and care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen. And I pray that He does. Amen. Folks, thank you again. God bless you. Have a safe journey home. Look forward to seeing you at the next appointed time. Christy, would you pray for us and dismiss the meeting, please? Thank you, brother.
Service and prepare, thank you, Lord, for being a light. Tell us, Lord, help us to radiate that to others that are still in darkness. Lord, help us be so much one in your light that others can help us see it as well. Love you and need you, Lord. Guide us in your will. Save those that are lost and amongst us, family and friends, Lord. We pray for strength and encouragement for your people at this time as well. Lord, for drawing back of the backslider. Remember those, Lord, who have graced the door of this church. Lord, we pray for restoration and fellowship with them as well. Those, Lord, that are fighting silent battles, I pray for intervention, Lord, for providence, for their battles too.
Mm-hmm.
Just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Christy. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Have a good rest of Wednesday evening and time until we next meet.